Do you talk to the Lord? If you're not talking to the Lord, all things aren't working good for your life. In fact, you're only harvesting what you've sown. And things aren't working good. And if you talk to the Lord only when you need something, it was yesterday in this time of prayer that it hit me all of a sudden how horrible it would be if my wife only talked to me when she needed something. Delbert, buy me this. Delbert, get me that. Delbert, fix this. I've made a mess here. Will you straighten it out? Delbert, this is going wrong. Will you fix it? If that was the only time my wife ever talked to me, how horrible a marriage that would be. But yet some Christians, nobody here, but some Christians, only time they ever talk to the Lord is when they want something. What a horrible relationship. You see, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't even have to ask. He knows what we need before we ask. You see, the reason He knows is because we've already talked about our hearts. We've already revealed. He knows without us asking. A is love. Do you love the Lord? Are you talking to the Lord? If things aren't working good in your life, you may want to look at that. You may want to see, well, do I need to intensify my communication with the Lord? B, serving or doing things for the Lord. Now, I'm going to get on this one just a little bit more in a minute, so I'm not going to stay here too long. But when you love someone, you want to do things for them. Not because you have to, but because you know it makes them happy. You just want them to be happy. You want them to enjoy you doing something for them. You want them to be happy. Use an example. Every once in a while, Judy will get this wild hair and tear off wallpaper and start painting everything. And I let her go. I mean, as long as she's going to do it, I won't have to. But there are certain things that she can't do, such as put up molding and hang doors and those kinds of things. Well, I have to then come into the picture, and she'll come and she'll say, I want you to go get this molded. And my first reply is, okay, I'll go get it soon. Well, you know, I think about it. Well, okay, it won't take me out. Because I don't want to do it. I don't want to put down molding, and I don't want to hang doors. I want to go fishing, or I want to get in my office. You know, I don't want to do that. But anyway, because she wants me to, I'll go get molded. I'll go get a door. And so then I'll put it down. And it's so funny. All of our upstairs doors are the plain doors. They don't have the panels. And she wants to change these and put 6-panel doors in all of them. And so here, about a week or so ago, she wanted me to go get her a 6-panel door and hang it. And I, first, that was, I'll get it later. And so, anyway, I went and got the door. Now, this door was a little larger than the door I took out, so I had to cut it down on one side. And then I had to cut in the hinges and hang it up there. Well, now, I liked the door. It looked good to me. It worked. It closed. It opened. But the Eagle Judy noticed that where I had cut, I hadn't cut exactly straight. And there was just a little bit. I said, Judy, who's going to see this? I wished I didn't notice it, but I do notice it, she says. And I walked out of the house carrying my tools out. Well, I'll never hang another one. You can get somebody else to hang the rest of them. But you know what? That lasted about 5 minutes. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to hang another door. And I'll make darned sure that that cut is straight. You do stuff for people that you love because you love them, not because you have to serve them. It's a natural response. How are you doing on your litmus test? Are you serving God? If you're not serving Him, if you're not doing things for Him simply because you love Him, things aren't working good in your life, and you're in an endless circle that's only reaping bad stuff for you. You're only reaping what you've harvested, what you've sown. See, presence. When you love someone, you want to be with them. You want to be in their presence. I want to get into intimacy here. You're around them, but then there's an intimate time. There's a time when you just want to be alone in their presence. Nobody else. Just you and them. You want to get lost in them. You want them to get lost in you. And you just want to have a personal time in their presence. Judy, years ago when she was 16 and I was 18. I think when we got married, I was 19 and she was 17. When we were back then and I was dragging that telephone cord around under that door and talking to her, she was Judy. And then when we got married for the first several years, she was just Judy. And now it's not Judy. Judy's home. I don't mean Judy is at home. I mean Judy represents home. And when you love someone, you want to be in their presence. And they become home. Church should never be a place I'm obligated to go on Sunday. Church should be home. Church should be a home for homes. A place where we come and bring our home to make a big home. A place where we come and experience His presence and His praise and worship. And somehow in the midst of hundreds of people, we can come into a place of just He and I and be in His presence and me in His. That's what praise and worship is about. Now, we seldom ever get to that dimension. I wished we could more often. But that's what it's supposed to be. And then in our private times, we don't need to come here to do that. We need to be able to do that in our automobiles. We need to be able to do that in our homes, in our bedrooms, or wherever that it is, our place, where our altar is. We need to have a time and a place where we can just get alone with Jesus. Just as you would get alone with the person that you love. And just be in that private zone. And let it be home. So comfortable. Nothing hidden. Intimate. So how are you doing on your litmus? Do you like to get alone with the Lord? Do you like to be in His presence? Do you like to talk to Him? Do you do it regularly? Do you want to serve Him? Not because you have to, but because you want to. Are you finding things to do? You see something that the Lord just needs done and do it. How are you doing? Score yourself. Score yourself. How you do? And if you didn't do real well, this could be the reason why all things aren't working good for your life, that you constantly live in an endless circle. I'm trying to bring you to the end of your circle. If you don't love God, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Who can tell me what He said? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Is that for God or is that for you? Huh? Who's it good for? See, when you love God, it works good for you. And then He says the second one is like to the first. You've got to love people. That comes in servitude. Are you serving people? I'm not tooting my own horn. I'll go on to the next one. I'll maybe toot my horn a little bit. Two prerequisites. First one is you got to love God. If you're not loving God, and A, B, and C are the very simplicities of love, if you're not loving God, then things aren't going to work good for you. The second prerequisite, to them that are called according to His purpose. To them that are called according to His purpose. We are not called into the kingdom of God to go to heaven when we die. That's not why we're called. Any kind of teaching that teaches that is a fallacy. It's a lie. It's not true. You're called into the kingdom of God for a purpose. Is that what that verse says? Called according to His purpose. God has a purpose for your life. There's something for you to do. Are you doing it? Again, not trying to blow my own horn. I thought that when I came into the kingdom of God that my primary purpose was to just simply teach the things of the kingdom, to bring revelation to people. But I learned that I minister to you very, very little in that capacity. Oh, I minister to you there, and you know, I share with you truths and things. But the way I minister to your life the most is by laying down mine. I don't care what's going on in your life. If you need me, you know I'll come. I'll fly. I'll drive. I'll do whatever's necessary. Because that's really my purpose. Teaching is just something I get to do because I love to do it. But loving you and ministering to you causes God to bless me. Causes things to work good for my life. God loves me. There is no doubt in my mind that God loves me. He does so many things for me. He turns all my mess ups into good stuff. I want you to know that if you're serving God, that if you're doing your purpose, if you're fulfilling God's plan for your life, God will take your mess ups and make them good. He'll cover your fanny. He'll take care of you. He'll take bad situations, your weaknesses, your failures, your mess ups, and He'll turn them into good stuff. How are you doing on your litmus test? Are you doing what God's called you to do? What's your purpose? Do you even know it? Because if you don't know your purpose, then you're missing the second prerequisite, and things are not going to be working good in your life. You're going to only be harvesting that which you've sown. You're living in Galatians chapter 6 and not in Romans chapter 8. God wants you to know that if you'll love Him and if you'll do what He's called you to do and fulfill your purpose in the kingdom, that He will turn all things into good for you. You scored yourself? How'd you do? I'm telling you, this works. You can stop the bad harvest. Make sure you're loving God. Make sure you're doing your purpose. Now, with that said, let me give you some examples biblically of how this works. Then I'm going to settle into one. And then we'll close. Are we filled in all of our blanks? Show you some examples. Give me the first one is Joseph. Joseph in prison. Did Joseph love God? Was he called according to God's purpose? Did God have a purpose for Joseph? But Joseph found himself in Egypt, and he found himself in a situation that he was not responsible for. Joseph found himself being accused by Potiphar's wife, being thrown into prison. The butler and the baker thing came. He interpreted their dreams for them. And eventually, though he had to go through prison and go through all those false accusations and go through all that humiliation and go through all that bad stuff, God still turned it for good for Joseph and made him second to Pharaoh in all of the world. Made him second in power, a type of Jesus Christ. Made him second. Made him very wealthy, made him very blessed, but also brought him to a place where he could preserve his own people. God will take all things and work them together for good. Give me another one. What about David and Bathsheba? Was that bad? That's pretty bad, wasn't it? Now, what David had done, as you know, is he had taken another man's wife. Now, that's biblical adultery. He had taken another man's wife. He had taken Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. And God was not happy about this at all. And so he sends Nathan the prophet, and he tells Nathan to tell David that you are the man. And the thing that David had done was had Uriah killed so that he could have Bathsheba.
David had a harem, but he wanted Bathsheba. So Nathan came and said, let me tell you a story, David. There was this one guy who had his whole flock of sheep. And there was another guy that only had one little sheep, one little ewe lamb. And the guy that had the whole flock of sheep took the one little guy's ewe lamb. What should be done to him? David said he ought to be killed. Nathan put his finger in David's face and says, you're the man. Because David had taken Bathsheba. Now, was that bad? It was bad. But what did God do with it? What did God do with this situation? He brought forth Solomon. Solomon was the son of Bathsheba. Solomon became the next king of Israel. Solomon brought the kingdom boundaries into their greatest proportion. Solomon was blessed. David was blessed. David was so blessed that he left Solomon enough gold and silver to build this humongous temple that was plated with gold and silver. The Bible says that in the end of David's reign and at the beginning of Solomon's reign, that silver was like gravel in the streets. God takes everything and makes it good if you love Him. Was David called? Did David love God? The Psalms are filled with David's heart being sung to God of how much I love you, how much I want to be in your presence, how much I want to talk to you, how much I want to be with you, all the things I want to do for you. He served God. And you look at David's entire life with Saul, with all the things that David went through, you always find God taking those things, though bad, and making them good. Why? Because he loved God. Because he was walking in the purpose of God. Let's look at a New Testament. How about Paul and Silas in prison? Paul and Silas in prison. That was bad. Now, did Paul love God? Was Paul called according to the purpose of God? Was Paul attempting to walk in the purposes of God? Was he? Sure he was. Sure he was. We know that. Paul had come into a place and he had a vision. He says, come over. I had a vision. And a man from Macedonia came and said, come over and help us. So Paul goes over to Troas and then finally down to Philippi. And there he cast a devil out of a woman. And because he did this, they threw him in prison. They chained him up. They beat him. He was in there with Silas in prison, chained up and bleeding. But he began to sing praises and God sent an earthquake. Now, not only did the Philippian jailer get saved and the whole region come to the kingdom of God because of this bad thing that happened to Paul, but also the Philippians became the major contributor to Paul's ministry. All things. How many things? All things work together for good. Let's do another one. How about Jesus and the cross? That was bad. That was bad. Jesus had come to a place in his ministry where he says, I don't want to do this. Is there any other way? Can this cup pass from me? Is there something else we can do? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You see, walking in the kingdom and fulfilling the purposes of God isn't always fun. We have to take up our cross daily. Sometimes we have to hurt daily. Sometimes we have to die daily. Sometimes to get things to work good in our lives, we have to do what we don't want to do. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Because I know if I fulfill your will, you're going to take everything in my life and make it good.